This morning we're going to continue in Romans 8, and kind of want to see what happens here. I want to start in Romans 8:5, and I have a bunch of the scriptures on the overhead. It's in the New King James Version, and so Father, we just thank you for this morning, and Lord, I just pray that you would continue to transform our hearts, and Lord, that by the work of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would surrender all to you, lay down whatever it is that we ought to lay down at the foot of the cross. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you that you're Lord of all. We thank you that you are continually sanctifying us and changing and transforming our hearts, our minds. And Lord, as I pray that we'd be teachable this morning. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just help us to hear from you and to receive from you and apply the words that you are speaking to us through your holy word. So Lord, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In Romans 8:5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I was reading, and I'm going to read the Amplified. Yesterday I was getting ready for this share this morning. It says, this is the Amplified. It says, for those who are according to their flesh are controlled by its unholy desires and set their minds on the purpose, those things which gratify the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit are controlled by the desires of the Spirit, set their minds and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. So we have two natures. I know we've been going through the book of Romans for some time, and we know we have two natures. We have the old nature and the new nature. The old nature is dead, and when we come to Christ, we are born and become alive. And he transforms our hearts, he transforms our minds, he transforms every part of us so we can live according to his word. And he gives us his Holy Spirit. In Romans 8, I mentioned 21 times, Paul talks about the Holy Spirit 21 times in the book of Romans, Romans 8. 21 times. To enable to live a life that honors God, we need the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't. We will burn and crash. We will try and do things in our own strength. When we yield to the Holy Spirit enables us to live a life that honors our Father. He helps us. Even as a child of God, when you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, he comes and he resides in you. And he gives you the strength. He gives you the joy. He satisfies you. Can anything in this world really truly satisfy you? And I know before we become believers in Christ, we sought things that try to satisfy. And we became more and more unsatisfied with the world that we provide. The world cannot satisfy you. Even though you see all these ads and all these things, and people talk about their trips. I'm going to this trip. I'm doing this. I'm buying this. That doesn't satisfy you. It only gives you a partial satisfaction for a moment. Maybe 6 months. Maybe a month. Then you're on to the newest and better things. Right? You never satisfy. But who satisfies us? Christ. And then as we are yielding to him and trusting in him, relying on him, and as we seek him, he draws us closer to him, and then we become more satisfied with him. It's only by the work of the Holy Spirit in us that makes us satisfied. Jesus is the bread of life that satisfies our hearts. He's the one who satisfies our desires. And sometimes when we find out we're not satisfied, I realize that I'm not following what the Word of God says. I'm going contrary to what the Word of God says. Have you ever been unsatisfied? Sometimes, if we're honest. Sometimes we're unsatisfied. And then that's a really a pivotal, there's a point in our lives that we realize where we're at spiritually with the Lord. Right? He's the one who's going to satisfy you. So I want to briefly kind of go over Romans 8, 5. It says, although many people around us tell us the dangers, you know, sometimes when people walk in sin, and you have people, your friends, close friends and family, or people from the church say, you know what? The sin that you're walking in is contrary to the Word of God. If I love you and I see you walking in sin, should I keep my mouth shut or should I come alongside you and say, that sin that you're allowing to operate in your life doesn't honor God? Right? If I truly love somebody, I will point out the sin in love. Because sin takes you away from the purpose of God. It takes you away from what God has planned for you. It actually separates you from the Holy God. And it also grieves the Holy Spirit. And you know your body, this body that we have, it's not your own. It's the temple of God. And as I shared last week, remember when Jesus walked into the temple and turned over tables? Right? Think what he does into your life when he comes into your life. Into the temple. This is the temple of God. Your body is the temple of God. He's going to expose things in your life and overturn things that are maybe you're believing, the lies you may be believing, and he will expose those things and so that you will be set free. Be able to worship him in truth, to trust him, grow in love with him. It's the Holy Spirit that works in your life. And it's the best thing ever because I'm not doing it. You're not doing it. It's the Holy Spirit working in you as you surrender to him and rely on him. Isn't that a lot better than trying to uphold a law? It makes you, because we read that before in Revelation 7, it talks about Paul says, what a wretched man I am. I do the things I don't want to do. There's a battle going on. He had a battle. We have a battle. And as we surrender and empowered by the Holy Spirit, we can live a life that honors our holy God. And so as we trust him, 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But the temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. He always provides a way out of the temptation. He reveals things. You know the Holy Spirit? Have you ever had the Holy Spirit really rise up in you? Like, run away. Run away from that. Don't turn on the TV. Don't look at that. It's the Holy Spirit knowing what's going to be happening. He's protecting us. But sometimes we quench the Holy Spirit and we say, oh, it's just a little thing. It's not going to affect me. Right? The Holy Spirit knows. He's going to give you a way out. Was it Joseph when he was in the palace? Right? And his wife came after him. He ran away. Potiphar's hand in his house. Right? You think about how many times the Holy Spirit warns you to run the way. Take a stand and to run away. It's a choice. And sometimes we fall into sin because we like it. sometimes sin, we like it too much to turn away from it. But the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us to die to what? Our flesh. Don't allow the flesh to grow, but to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit to live a life, to die to the flesh and put on the new nature. So Galatians 5:16, I don't know if I have that. Oh yeah, I do. Sorry. What? I don't have Galatians 5. Yeah. You just had it, buddy. There we go. Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So how can we seek those things? Because we read in Romans 8:5 says, How can I gratify the Holy Spirit? How can we seek those things that gratify the Holy Spirit? It's different than gratifying the flesh. How can we gratify the Holy Spirit? So we are to walk by the Spirit, who brought us out to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He is now going to lead us to live like Christ, transforming us as we surrender. Right? We have a choice of surrendering, yielding, depending. We have this choice. And sometimes we don't make the wisest choices. And so, transforming us as we surrender, die to the old nature, to put on the new nature by renewing our mind with the Word of God. So as we read the Word of God, we meditate on it. That's how we renew the mind, by reading the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God. When we meditate on the Word of God, we actually chew on it. We say, Lord, help me to understand this. And sometimes Scripture is hard to understand. Sometimes we choose, like, wow, Lord, am I falling short? But I thank you, Lord, for revealing where I'm at with you. Thank you that my relationship is actually going to go deeper with you. So here are the marks of someone who walks in the Spirit. Grasp, maybe not all of us walk 100% of it. Some of we might be 50%, 40%. But it's an ongoing process, right? Is your desire, do you have this desire to grow deeper with the Lord? Do you desire to die to self, die to the flesh? Do you have desire to be transformed? Do you have desire to learn more about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? So as we continue to be transformed by the Holy Spirit, we see these things being manifest in our life. We see joy. We have this greater love and passion for people. A greater love for the lost. We have this peace that we cannot understand. Because God gives you His peace. Right? Even though everything around you may be falling apart, He enables you to have joy and peace as you go through difficulties. We see repentance in our own lives. As believers, we repent. 1 John 1:9 talks about how when we confess our sins, He is just and He will forgive us our sins. And as we desire, as we grow deeper, we start to hate sin. Do you ever notice that when you start walking with the Lord more and more, you start to hate sin more and more all the time? There's forbearance, showing patience, self-control, forgiving anyone who has offended you, humility, humbleness, kindness, gentleness, obedience, a commitment and a desire to grow in relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. You must be desiring that, or else you wouldn't be here. So as we walk by the Spirit, we rely on Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit convict and guide you. Let the Holy Spirit teach you as you meditate on the Word of God. I want to look at Galatians 5, 24 to 26. It says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And let us not become conceited. That's walking in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited. Let us not think that we're better than somebody. But let us walk in humility. Praying for others. Not to gossip about them. But come alongside them and pray for them. Teach them. Mentor them. But encourage, and that's the thing for us. We ought to come more united as brothers and sisters in Christ. We are saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone. Then the Holy Spirit is manifesting more in our lives. I don't know how else to explain that. The desires and the sin that so easily entangles us will no longer have a stronghold in your life. Those desires will kind of maybe let go of more and more. Right? You don't desire that sin any longer. But then you desire more of the Lord and desire to live a life that honors Him. It's because of God's grace that you're saved. He gives you a new direction for your life, and He gives us the power to go that way. The Holy Spirit enables us to live this life. He empowers you. He gives you the boldness to stand up for what is true, what is right. We don't have to worry about what other people are going to say about us. We're not here to please man, we're here to please our Father. Too often we want people to like us. Who should we be living for? I'm going to read Romans 8, 6 to 8 now. Save's not there. That's okay, but I'll read it. Now the mind of the flesh, I'll read out of it now, or my King. Romans 8. For to the carnal minded is death, but to the spiritual minded there is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We live in a society that is basically tried to do away with the absolute truth and replace it with different ethics that are contrary to what the Word of God is. They're trying to dictate and tell us that what you believe, if you're believing the true gospel, they're trying to make you feel bad about it. They try and make you want to adopt their thoughts, their ideas, to transform you and to become more like them. But as we are renewed by the Word of God, He's transforming us so that we would take a stand for holiness and righteousness, to live differently, to speak differently, to behave differently, that the life of Christ would be manifested through your life. Right? So culture dictates sometimes what is right. They have so-called social justice. On top of that, sinful things are more accessible today than they have been, have ever been, you think, right? But pleasure and self-indulgence and encourage these things of the flesh are elevated to equal happiness and success. We see that. People are saying, my happiness is more important than your happiness. Right? The life of a believer is lifting up others and encouraging other people, especially in the faith. Right? We are supposed to encourage our brothers and sisters to build them up in the faith, to actually become walking humility. So sometimes sin has been candy coated. Make it seem so sweet. It's not going to harm you. It's all good things. But what does it do? What does sin do in your life? Separates you. It brings death. It brings destruction. It really doesn't satisfy you or make you happy. Maybe a very short time might make you happy, but then after that, it's going to be a lifetime of regret and shame. And you'd be like, why did I even do that? Right? Sin is not a simple mistake or an oops. Never say sin is a mistake. Call sin for what it is. Sin. It is direct hostile towards everything that God is. If you are controlled by your sin, then there is death. We must see that sin is not about one momentary pleasure or fancy, but the enemy of your soul is making an effort to keep us weak, wounded, and useless for the kingdom. That's what the whole plan of Satan is to a believer. He's trying to make you weak and kind of shipwreck you to go off to the side, off the rails. So 1 Peter 5:8 says, be careful. Watch out for the attacks from the devil. This is what the Word of God says. Be careful. Be careful where you walk. Be careful what you see, what you listen to. Watch out for the attacks from the devil, your great enemy. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone, like a victim to devour. He's looking for victims. And a lot of times we can find when we sin and fall short, we kind of go off our own way. We kind of leave the herd. Do you know when a sick animal is sick? It leaves the herd. It wanders away. How many times do we see that in the body of Christ? Those who are walking in sin and they feel like they're so far away from God, they're like, how can a holy, righteous God redeem me? Well, how can a holy God accept me again for what all the things I've done? But we also know that Jesus leaves the 99 to go find the lost one. But see, the devil wants people to be way off here and feeling sorry for them and not believing what the Word of God says. But Jesus has said, come back. You think about the prodigal son. He did all that. He knew his father was a good father. And he wanted all his pleasures in this world. So his dad gave all the pleasures. He lived it up. He thought he was living his best life now. But all that happened was he had false friends, false hopes, false satisfactions. He had to hit rock bottom to realize, I had it really good with my father. Think about our Holy Father right now. Sometimes we wander away but he's calling you back to live a life that he wants you to live, without bondage, without shame, without regret, but he wants you to live this life. And why? Because only a holy God can transform your life. He's the only one to change you and redeem you and satisfy you. Romans 9, verse 9, it says in verse 12, Romans 8, 9 to 12, apologies. But you are not living a life of the flesh. You are living the life of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit of God dwells within you, so directs and controls you, but if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is none of this. He does not belong to Christ. He's not a child of God. But if Christ lives in you, in your natural body is dead to sin and guilt, the Spirit alive. Where am I here? If there's light, I'm sorry, I'm leaving for now. But if you live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not become, that's not it. Sorry. Sorry, I'm going back and forth. With Amplify, there's one part in here I really loved how it says, are you controlled by the Spirit? Are we controlled by the Holy Spirit? We can simply say yes, or we can say no, because you know. Are you allowing sin to rule and reign in your life? Or are you putting off the sin? Are you living in bondage? Because really sin is bondage. And he doesn't want his church to be in bondage any longer. He wants us, his children, to be set free. And that's why Jesus came, to set the captives free. To walk after him. And to desire him. Not to satisfy their flesh any longer. And if, verse 10, it says, and if Christ is in you, is Christ in you? If Christ is in you, you're a child of God. If Christ is not in you, then you're not a child of God. The body is dead and cause of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. When we desire, we know we're a child of God because we desire to walk in righteousness. We desire to put off the old stuff. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are all debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. But if you are alive according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, and you will live. Verse 14 says, for as many are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. And I think of, pretty black and white. Do I desire to live for the Lord? He says, if I truly love him, I would obey. And sometimes we have this desire to be rebellious. If you want to be truthful. Sometimes we rebel. You know, the Bible declares that sin has been taken care of through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Just as a glance at the scriptures reveals the following. The power of sin was broken. Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. He has set you free from the power of sin. Do you believe that? It's a hard one to grab. Because sometimes we see that we fall back into sin. It's like, Lord, I don't want the sin to keep entangling me, going back to it. It's like, Lord, I desire to do your will. Lord, I'm crying out to you, Lord, help me. Lord, I'm on my knees crying out that you will enable me to put away this sin and to be broken free of this sin so it does not continue to draw me away from you. It's a choice. When you have given rule, when you give Jesus the rule over your life, you're no longer a slave to sin. Jesus broke the power of sin over your life. It does not control you. It does not give in to your impulses and desires. We need to renew our mind with the Word of God. Take captive the thoughts that set up selves against the knowledge of the Word of God. The Spirit now controls you. Not in a way that you are a robot. You don't become a robot. Sin does not just disappear. There is a battle going on. We have to recognize there's a battle for your mind. There's a battle for your heart. When you have God in your life, you have an option to take a stand for what is right, to overcome strongholds in your life. What you will soon realize as a believer, that temptation still comes even after salvation. Do you ever realize that? You see that? These are the things that you will find out, and we struggle. You just have to be truthful about it. As a believer, you recognize there are spiritual battles going on. You know there's a spiritual battle right now going on with for your mind and your heart. And you recognize that as a child of God, that now I'm a child of God, you recognize there is a battle going on to captivate you, to draw you back, to walk away from the Lord. There's a battle going on. People are practicing witchcraft. People are doing things that are for Satan. There's a battle. And how do we overcome the spiritual battles? By putting on the full armor of God. Reading his word. James 4, 7 to 8? You have that one. Okay. James 4. Therefore, this is how we overcome. Just remember, this is how we overcome. Therefore, submit to God. And how do you submit to God? Humble yourself before him. Say, Lord, here I am. I can't do this. Go back to that one. And then resist the devil. So first off, priority first. We ought to be submitted to God. If I'm not submitted to God, right? If I'm not submitted to God, if I'm continuing being disobedient, not walking after and gratifying the Holy Spirit, if I'm not doing that, then the second part cannot happen. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. If I'm not submitted to God, how can we resist Satan? There's a priority here. Am I submitted to God today? Do I want to be fully submitted to God? I'm not saying that you're perfect, but are you submitted to him? Say, Lord, I'm coming to you and I need your help. I need deliverance from this. I need to be set free from this. Lord, help me to renew my mind. In verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So don't be double-minded. Don't double-minded. You're going back and forth. Does God's word say that? Well, his word says it. Does his word say that? Right? Surrendering. Because in verse 11 it says, he dwells in you. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. That's what the word of God says. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. So when there's an effect, right? There's an effect when the Holy Spirit dwells in you. You become more surrendered. You yield. You trust. You depend on the Holy Spirit. And those who have... So you have to be a believer. A child of God. So a child of God is those who have repented, received Christ, professed with their mouth, putting their faith and hope in Christ alone as their Lord and Savior, and they have surrendered him. I want to read John 12, 23. It says, I don't have this on our thing, but when Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come, the Son of Man should be glorified. That's not it. But it talks about how do you know if somebody is a child of God? How do you know that the church is united? You see how people, when God brings people into the body of Christ to become unified, they see how God transforms people's lives. Because before we come to Christ, we're very selfish. And he changes that. If the Father is it, him and Jesus and God are the same, the Holy Spirit, they all work together. But they transform people's lives. And so when we come to Christ, he changes our lives. He changes our hearts. And then when people see that you're being transformed and changed, not because of what you're doing, because of what the Holy Spirit's doing, then they start glorifying God. There has to be a God, because I see the life transformation in your life. You used to be a wreck. You used to be this person that was worrisome and troublesome and freaking out, worried about tomorrow. But when the Holy Spirit really takes hold of your life, you're like, Lord, I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. I'm going to trust you. Jude 1 says this. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, a brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, 4. I thank my God always concerning for you, for the grace of God which was given to you by Jesus Christ. Verse 5, say, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge, given as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Verse 7. So that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 2:11. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified. You know, when you come to Christ, you're sanctified. You know, in Christ, you're being continually being sanctified. It's by the work of the Holy Spirit. So you're sanctified in the beginning, and you're continually being sanctified, dealing with the sin and the garbage and the mindsets. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Romans 8:30. Moreover, whom he predestined, those he also called. Whom he called, those who also justified. When you come to Christ, you're justified. You're made right. He, when you repent of your sin, he justifies and makes you holy and perfect because of the blood of Christ. He justifies you. He takes away your sin and he makes you right with God the Almighty. He also justified whom he justified, those who he also glorified. So it's the work of the Holy Spirit who's justifying you, who's glorifying you. Well, not you, but the Lord Almighty. It's not about us. I want to finish with Hebrews 10:15. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. And after he had said this, said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. You know what I think about that? When we repent and confess our sins unto God, he says, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. He makes a choice. Sometimes we hold on and we remember our sins. But what if we truly confess our sins unto God, what does his word say? He remembers them no more. They've been dealt with. They're not holding against us. Now where there is remission of those, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Christ, by Jesus, by a new and living way which is he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. This is why we come together. This is why we have fellowship with other fellow believers. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is a matter of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. That's why we come together, to encourage one another in the Word of God. When we have difficulties, when we are, maybe there's some sinful things in our lives. Because the Word of God, I think it's in James, we talk about if you confess your sins to one another, right? You'll be healed. Confession helps. Confession, even you talk to a brother, somebody you trust, and you know, somebody doesn't blab, but somebody who actually go in prayer and stand beside you and be an encourager to you to help you through your walk. So I hope today, I don't know, there's a lot. There's a lot there. As you maybe you go back and read Romans 8:14. And just ask the Holy Spirit, help me to understand who I am. Help me. When we live this life, we're here not to glorify ourselves, but glorifying the Lord Jesus. We're his light, we're his hands, we're his feet. It's not about you, it's about him. It's always about him. It's always about and we speak of what he's doing in our lives, sharing their testimony of how God is so good, how he's transforming you. And we say, I couldn't have never done this without him. To always praise him and say, he's my Lord and Savior. He's my hope, my strength. He's the one that gets me through. And I never have regretted the moment of my life. I will close with this one. Lord, may the Lord bless you and watch and guard you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon and enlighten you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his approval, his countenance upon you and give you peace. So Lord, we thank you that you are our peace, you are our joy. You're the hope that we have. You're the strength that we have. And Lord, I pray as we go out inside these doors, Lord, we would continue to remember to put on the full armor of God. And Lord, let us, forgive us, Lord, as if we have quenched your Holy Spirit. Lord, forgive us for quenching your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And Lord, let us be desiring to do your will so that you be glorified in this town, in our lives. And Lord, that we would speak of you. And Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.